Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's remain standing for prayer. Once again, Father, we are thankful for this day and the opportunity we have to gather here in your name and worship you. And we trust that already you have been pleased with worship that has been offered unto you. We thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to meet like this. We thank you for a country where there is freedom to gather without fear. We are able to worship in the way that we choose. We are not forced to worship in a government-sanctioned church. We thank you, Father, for the many blessings that are ours in this country. And Lord, we pray for our leaders. We pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and lives, that they would do what's right. As Paul wrote to Timothy, that we might be able to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We thank you, Father, again for the mothers that are here. We also thank you for the mothers represented by those of us that our mothers are far away. Some, many here in this room, their mothers have already passed from this life. Whatever the case, Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful for the influence, the investment that our mothers have made and make each day in their families. We thank you, Father, for your word, and as we look to it today, I pray that you would have the freedom to speak to our hearts. I pray that what is said and done would only bring honor to you and glory to your name. Anything that we might say of an individual, Lord, that is commendable is not of themselves, it's of you. Anything of worth is not of themselves, it's of you. And so, Lord, we just commit this to you. We thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, and what now we have the chance to share together. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. We are not going to be looking at Proverbs 31, but I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We often hear of tragedies as far as homes are concerned. As much as we wish, not every home is an ideal situation. And today we want to look at a successful life which came from some challenging home circumstances. And I trust it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you. For the background of this, I invite you to glance down there at Acts 16 in front of you. And it tells us, helps if I'm in Acts and not John. Pardon me. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. As we look at this, the first thing that catches our attention is the way Paul introduces us to Timothy. Timotheus is his full given name, I guess, but we're usually more comfortable with Timothy. And the thing that Paul tells us as he entered into this particular region, he tells us that there was a certain disciple there. Well, the first thing we learn about Timothy was the fact that he was a believer. You never refer to an unsaved person in Scripture as a disciple. He was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we already know that much about him. But as Paul goes on, he tells us that he was the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed. He had a mother who was a Christian. But he had a father who was a Greek. And it is believed that by this, we believe that Paul was referring more to than just nationality, a Jew or a Greek, but it is believed that his father was an unbeliever. His father was an unbeliever. Less than an ideal home situation. When one parent knows the Lord and the other parent doesn't. As much as they love one another, there is always going to be those areas of strife and conflict. When one loves the Lord and wants to do that which is honoring to the Lord, and the other one could care less. Timothy grew up with that kind of a home background. And the question is, how would he turn out? How would he turn out? Sometimes we hear people use that home background as an excuse for the way they're living. Well, the home I grew up in, man, it was nothing but turmoil. Yeah, I had one parent that knew the Lord, but boy, did the other one sure make things rough. Kind of like, what do you expect of my life growing up in a home like that? Well, let's see how Timothy turned out. And there are three separate passages that I want us to look at. And the first one is the one we are looking at here as we move on in verse 2 through 5. And in this, I would like to just, if you're a note taker, point number one, we see in 16, 2 through 5, Paul's commission of him. Paul's commission of him. Because it tells us, as we go on, this young man, this disciple, by the name of Timothy, we learn in verse 2, he was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Interesting that in our Sunday school lesson this morning that John taught in the book of Proverbs, at least the first half of our Sunday school time was about having a good what? Reputation. How relevant our passage here. Did Timothy have a good reputation or didn't he? Absolutely. It tells us here in verse 2, Timothy was well reported of by the brethren, by the other believers there in that location. The importance here of a good report in the home church. Does that matter or doesn't it? Is that an important thing to have a good reputation in the home church or not? Over the years that I have been pastor, I have had in various situations and for various reasons, whether it was somebody was applying for a job or somebody had other questions, some of the ones that the questions were being asked about happened to be about some of the young people that were in our church at that particular time. I am sad to say that over the years there have been times that I have not been able to give a good report on questionnaires or questions that I was being asked on the phone. Why? Because that particular young person did not have a good report among the brethren. They weren't living for the Lord. That they were involved in things that were anything but Christ-like. And my name was given as a reference, a character reference, and I'm not going to lie about something. We speak the truth. And here we find Timothy. The first thing we notice about him here is that he did have a good reputation among the at his home church. Those in that region that knew him as a believer. Yeah, that young man, he's got a good reputation. He is of outstanding character. He has a love and a heart for the things of the Lord. That's good, wasn't it? As we continue on, Paul goes on, and because he had that good reputation, why did you call this first point Paul's commission of him? Read on. Him, Timothy, Paul would have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so the churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. Paul, when he got to this region and he heard about this young man that was a believer, and as he talked to other brethren from those churches that knew well of the character of Timothy, Paul decided that I want this young man to be one of my laborers. I want this young man to accompany me in the work that I have for the Lord. And so we see here in that third verse, Paul wanted him to go forth with him. Timothy, would you be willing to serve the Lord with me as we go from place to place and we take the gospel to other places? And what was Timothy's response? Yes, Paul. And so it was at this point that Paul commissioned Timothy to serve with him. And so That's why, as we read in Acts and as we read in a number of the epistles, you'll find those two names together, Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy. How did that all come about? Right here, as we see this young man's character as far as the Lord was concerned. But remember, this young man grew up in a home that was less than ideal. He had a mother that was saved, but most likely that father that was a Greek was not a Christian. But it did not stop Timothy from having a right relationship with the Lord. It did not stop Timothy. Well, what else do we see? What else can we learn about this young man? As we saw that first point in Acts 16, 2-5. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And the second thing we notice is Paul's confidence in him. Paul's confidence in him. And we start at verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 4. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He's writing to the believers at Corinth. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy. Who is now, what do we see? What kind of words does Paul use to describe him? He is my beloved son. Beloved son. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul is writing his first letter to Timothy, in verses 1 and 2 of 1 Timothy 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. In the faith, Timothy was like a son to Paul as they served together. Obviously, Timothy is younger than Paul, and so Paul refers to him here in 1 Corinthians 4, 17, that first thing that he mentions by way of confidence. Paul said, you know, not everybody that I could send would really do the job that I want done for the Lord among you. He said, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but not many care for you like a father. And he said, for this cause, I am sending you Timothy, because he is my beloved son in the faith. But the next thing you notice, it says, as not only my beloved son in the faith, but the second thing, he is faithful in the Lord. Faithful in the Lord. Again, I refer to 1 Timothy 1 and verses 18 through 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Not you, Timothy. You're hanging in there. You're remaining faithful in the Lord. And that's the word that Paul, as he was writing to the Corinthians, as he was commending Timothy to them, he said, I have every confidence that Timothy is going to be exactly the representative I would be if I were there myself. We find that he is a beloved son in the faith, and he is faithful in the Lord. And in verse 17, the third thing Paul wrote of him, he says, he will bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He's going to be teaching you the very things that if I can only be one place at one time, but I know Timothy is going to be teaching you exactly the same things that I would teach you if I were here. What confidence Paul had in this young man that grew up in less than an ideal home situation. He didn't use his home situation as an excuse for laxity as far as his walk with the Lord was concerned. But the Lord was real to him. And we see that his faith was outstanding to the point that he became one of the church leaders as Paul mentored him and worked alongside of him as they went from place to place. So much so that Paul had such confidence in him that Paul would say, I'm sending Timothy. I can't be there, but I know he's going to honor and glorify the Lord in my absence. Well, we've seen two things, how this young man turned out. We saw Paul's commission of him, and we've seen Paul's confidence in him. But let's notice thirdly. Let's see in Philippians 2, 19 to 23. Philippians 2, 19 to 23, Paul's commendation of him. Paul's commendation of him. We start at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord to send Timotheus, Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Paul had previously written that he was deeply concerned of the welfare of the church in Philippi. Here now we see the assignment to Corinth wasn't the only assignment that Paul gave to Timothy. Now we find there was another church on another occasion that Paul had such confidence in, and he commended him. And we see here that Paul said, I'm sending him so that I might be comforted when he brings back the report of how you folks are faring in life and how things are going between you and the Lord. We move on. His commendation of him, verse 20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Do you hear what Paul is saying? We find here that Paul said, I'm concerned about you, and as I look over my list of individuals I could send in my behalf, the only one that I am comfortable sending to you is Timothy. Why? Because nobody else that I would send to you is like-minded like me, and that the care of you would just be second nature to him. Because in verse 21, so many of them, all they care about is what? Themselves. And here we thought in the 21st century, we were the ones that invented this me first stuff. And, you know, just take care of yourself and look out for yourself. It was alive and well in Paul's day. And sadly, stop and think about this. When Paul says, I have no man like-minded who's naturally going to care for your estate, they all seek their own and not the things of Christ. Paul isn't talking about some unsaved guys around him that he would send to them. Of whom is he speaking? Fellow believers. And how does Paul evaluate them? I can't trust them. They're not like-minded. They don't have a single heart for the things of the Lord. They've got their own agenda. You can't count on them. What a tragedy. Can others count on you? Or could the same things be said? Really can't send them because they don't naturally care for others. And they're basically self-centered. They don't have time for others. They're not willing to set their own interests aside and invest in other believers. What a tragedy. I can't help but think that if it were true in Paul's day, it's got to be true in our day too, doesn't it? May God speak to our hearts. Well, we've seen these three things from this young man that grew up in a less than ideal home. Paul commissioned him. He wanted him to serve with him. He had great confidence in him, and he highly commended him. Let's ask ourselves, what was the secret? What was the secret? I'd like to suggest an answer in a twofold way. Well, what answer would you suggest, Pastor? I would suggest the secret to the life this young man grew up and demonstrated in the Lord was nothing else but his home life. The home he grew up in. Turn with me, first of all, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the first thing that we would notice here under this third point is the letter A. And we see here in verses 3 through 5, I'll tell you the words to write, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. when I call to remembrance the unfeigned or genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So, what was the secret? A, he had a godly grandmother and mother. He had a godly grandmother and mother. As Paul wrote this to him and made specific mention of that, how that he remembers the faith that is in Timothy, he said, it was first in your grandmother, and then it was in your mother, and I'm sure they both contributed to bringing you to faith as well. You had the privilege of being raised up in that kind of a home situation. The thing that catches my attention, again, to perhaps give credence to what I said before, there is no mention of a godly grandfather or the mention of a godly father who was a Greek that Paul mentioned in Acts 16:1. That's why it is believed that when Paul mentioned that, he was not just referring to nationality, he was referring, spiritually speaking, had a mother, a Jewess who believed, and an unbelieving Greek father. And we find that these women need to be honored because they obviously had lived genuine faith in a less than ideal home setting. They didn't excuse laxity. They didn't excuse carnality in their lives. Obviously, these women were very strong in their faith, though they didn't have husbands who supported them. And so, what was the secret? His home life. A, Paul was writing, thanking God for the influence of a godly grandmother and mother all those years that he was growing up under the roof of his home. B, what else is the secret? Not only the fact that his grandmother and mother were believers and they knew the Lord. Turn with me to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And let's notice verses 14 and 15. Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Paul is encouraging him, Timothy, as you have been growing up, you have been hearing from your grandmother, from your mother, as he is writing this last letter to him, Paul says, you continue. Don't you come to the point where you are going to turn away from the faith of your grandmother and your mother. Don't come to the point where once you get out on your own, as time goes on, you decide that, mom and dad's beliefs, mom and dad's faith, mom and dad's church, the positions that they held, not for me. This is the 21st century. I want a church that's like this. I want to listen, sit and listen to messages that preach that. And those things that I heard when I was growing up in Awana, Sunday school and things like that, no big deal. That's what Paul is writing this last letter to this man, this young man that had served with him faithfully for years. The last letter before Paul was executed for Christ. He said, the first thing, Timothy, that is so important, I want you to make sure that you just hold fast to the truth that you have been taught, and in honor of those that taught you, knowing where you got this instruction, knowing who invested the time teaching you, taking you to church, taking you to Awana, so on. But B, we're in point B. Not only does he encourage him to don't cast off all of your upbringing and teaching that your grandmother and mother invested in, but notice verse 15. The second secret here is the place of God's word in his life from his youth up. The first answer to the secret was a godly grandmother and mother. The second thing that Paul points out is the place of God's word in his life from his youth up, because verse 15 says, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It was the upbringing in your home, the truths you were taught, verse 14, and the exposure to the Word of God from the time that you were a very small child. And he uses that word child. Wiest tells us that word which is used is this. It is a newborn child, an infant, a babe. From his earliest days, his mother and his grandmother were talking to him, teaching him the Word of God. And so we find that Timothy's success as a believer started at home as a baby, and as he was growing up as a young boy, as a teenager, and thanks to his grandmother and mother. A, he saw genuine Christianity lived at home. And we find that's why the message title today, it starts at home. He saw genuine Christianity lived before his eyes. And we find, B, there was early and continual teaching of God's Word documented here from Scripture, which led to point C, the day came in Timothy's life when he personally accepted the Lord and Savior of his mother and grandmother. Hey, have you? Have you accepted the Lord? You say, well, of course, Pastor. Well, have you? Nothing more important. You see, nobody's going to heaven on the hem of the skirt of their grandmother or mother. They need to place their faith personally in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen these contributing factors. We've seen a young man. What a testimony. A certain disciple. We find that Paul was so impressed, he commissioned him. He wanted him to be his helper. Paul had great confidence in him. He wrote great words of commendation to others. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. It started at home. May God help our homes to be places that are honoring and glorifying to the Lord. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, we thank you that we could look at the example of this young man's life, and we know that the situation that he found himself in, I just thank you, Lord, that he did not have a grandmother or a mother that just cowered down in the corner, because with regards to his father, he obviously was an unbeliever. But I thank you that both grandmother and mother invested their lives, their faith, in and before the watching eyes of this lad who grew up in that home. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that that day did come when Timothy put his faith and trust in you. And we pray, Lord, for each home represented here. Perhaps we look out over the crowd, and in many ways, in many of these homes, there's no longer children at home. They've grown. And Lord, we do pray that you would work in the lives of those children. Some have made some choices that are not pleasing unto you. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Some have made those choices growing up in homes where the things of the Lord were important. But sadly, the younger ones, when they grew up, turned against. They did not continue, thou, in the things that they had learned. O God, bring back some to fellowship with you, or to a right relationship with you, or perhaps bring them to the point where they would truly come to know you as their Lord and Savior. If they are not truly a Christian, encourage especially those homes, those mothers where there is still children in the homes, an opportunity to invest time and energy concerning the things of the Lord. Lord, may you be pleased, honored, glorified in the homes and in the lives of the children yet to grow up. Thank you again, Lord, for the memory of our mothers. We thank you for this day, a day to honor them. And we thank you for this time that you have given us here. In your name we pray. Amen.